Support for this podcast comes from Frito-Lay and the 2023 Snack Bracket Championship. The Frito-Lay Snacker Challenge is underway, and fans are voting on their favorite snacks to crown champion. We're talking about primetime matchups between the best 64 snacks in the land. Will Ruffles Ridges reign supreme? Can Doritos defend their dynasty? Or will Smart Food use their smarts for a surprise upset? Only you can decide. Get in on all the action for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks. Let your snacks be heard. Just go to FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com to vote and enter for a chance to win. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends April 3rd, 2023. Void where prohibited. Year's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age?
All right, welcome on back to another edition of the Baltimore Beatdown Podcast. It is Monday night, December 5th, 2022. My name is Jake Luke, and I'm joined on my screen by Spencer Schultz. How's it going?
Going quite well. Had a lot of fun yesterday doing our first in-person listener event. We did a live stream tailgate at Pickett Brewing Company. It was a ton of fun. Hopefully you guys tuned into that a little bit. Was long. It was really long. The second hour, we were rotating through me, you, Bobby, Kevin, Cole, a couple other people trickled on through talking about some various things. By the time it got to like 90 minutes in, I'm not going to lie, I was saying some fucking nonsense. I was saying some dumb things. I was like, yeah, the Ravens take on the Browns next week. I was like, yeah, Jerry Jeudy's out. I was just saying some, I feel like I was on point early in the stream. Then I fell apart. It was a long, exciting, anxiety-inducing event that turned out really well and was a ton of fun. And we're looking to do a lot more of those. Shout out to Kate and Jason at Pickett Brewing Company. They said they wanted to do a lot of that. So we're looking to do some more events like that, especially there right next to the stadium. So I had a ton of fun.
Yeah, it would be great to continue doing it there because it did go about as smoothly as I could have possibly imagined. I was definitely a little jacked up about it too, a little anxious, but a good amount of people came out. Shout out to everyone who did. It was a lot of fun. You were definitely You have been a little bit hypercritical of your performance since then. I think you were just fine. I think everything went well, and you know, you had a couple beers, and then you hop back on there, and things were said. I probably said some dumb shit too.
Yeah, we say a lot of dumb shit, but that's why you guys love us, I guess. I don't know why 300,000 downloads keeps happening. I don't know why you guys listen to us, but we appreciate that you do. And then from there, I mean, my experience yesterday overall, we went out with Cole on Saturday, which I knew was going to be a mistake in the end.
Yeah.
It was worth it, but it was a mistake in the sense that I woke up Sunday and was like, fuck, I shouldn't have gone out last night. We did. Cole disappears for so long after taking a shot of Jameson. We're out in Fells with Cole showing him around. He's like, oh, yeah, wow, the harbor's so beautiful. Oh, yeah, wow, guy, a bunch of hosers. Suddenly, him and his cousin disappear. We have no idea where they are. He FaceTimes us hours later. We're out and about. Wake up Sunday morning. I chug a cup of coffee. I take a headache pill as part of my old man routine, not realizing that was essentially Excedrin and had 150 milligrams of caffeine on top of it. So I'm just an anxious mess in a way, like physically nervous. When everything got set up there, it was great. Then I'm like, all right, time to go to the game. Got there on time, so I was happy about that. And then I'm going to go get my mom a soda pop. She was a little thirsty, so I was getting her a Coke. And while I'm out, I hear over the PA, like, Tyler Huntley has entered the game or whatever the hell. And I was like, wait, what? And I missed Lamar Jackson's injury. From there, I was shaking during that game, watching that game for hours and hours. I was a nervous wreck during that game. And I think I, like, gutturally screamed when they ended up scoring at the end because I was like, it was just not a great day for me to go through what that game turned out to be. It was a doozy.
Yeah, no, the entire timeline of the weekend was interesting. We definitely took it a little deep on Saturday night. And you know, it was a lot of fun. Daddy doesn't get to get out like that too often these days. And I'm sure you don't either. So it was a good time. hanging with the crew. And yeah, that's a caffeine after a night of drinking is just, I can't do that anymore. So that might've been a little bit of a rookie mistake on your part, but that's okay because it worked out. But yeah, I don't know. I had a great time at the tailgate as well. A lot of fun meeting everyone. Shout out to Bree who came out and, you know, was chatting with us a lot. Shout out to Lacey, of course, who came out. Great to finally meet her in person. Purple Pants and the boys. Those guys were fun. And yeah, it was just a great time. And then, man, the game itself, like, so I went with my buddies Eric and Hirsch, who I usually go with, and both of them left. Like, I think Eric left, like, maybe before the end of the first half. Hirsch left a little bit. Probably.
Was it like, I'm not fucking watching this?
It was that. It was the weather. It was just everything. It's just everything that would get you to not go to a game, I guess, sort of conspired to keep them from seeing the whole thing all the way through. But it's like, for me, I was like, if I'm going to be here, then I'm going to fucking be here. I'm not going to, like, leave. And brother, it was tempting being sitting in that shade with the cold and the wind and the way the offense was performing and no Jackson. And man, it's easy to look back now and just say, yeah, they got the win 10-9, but it really felt like they were going to drop that one. And it was an anxiety inducing game, to say the very least.
Yeah, it most certainly was. And I've been able to go through a little bit of the offense here and just looking and just, it's just crazy. They came out on their first drive condensed. We talked so much last week, spread things out, especially in the red zone. They condensed everything. The Broncos are on it like flies on shit. So they immediately basically take Pat Ricard out of the game, put Josh Oliver in on the second and third drive, even of the game when Lamar was still in. They started using some 11 personnel. They went into a second and one, went under center in a spread right, like pro 11 look, and ran the ball and got up easy 5 yards on second and one. And it looked like, going back through this game, like watching Tyler Huntley, I'm not done yet, but watching Tyler Huntley, like, it's giving me goosebumps because it is giving me anxiety. Watching him on tape is like watching a freaking mosquito addicted to crack. Like, he is such an anxious, nervous mover in the pocket. He just throws the ball all of a sudden, or he's like trying to drive the ball as hard as he can as soon as the ball snapped. I am not having fun watching that, but it just, it's easy to say, but I really do think if Lamar stayed in this game, they would have found a rhythm. And it sucks so badly that he ended up going down. The Broncos defense performed admirably. The Ravens safeties tried their best to lose this game. From what I saw in the broadcast rewatch, Chuck Clark and Geno Stone were biting on everything. Couldn't be a better time for Marcus Williams to come back on that note, hopefully. And hopefully he's up to speed and feels good and hasn't, like, lost 15 pounds of muscle that he couldn't get back because he couldn't work out his upper body or something weird. But it was an insane game. The Ravens go, I think, 3 of 13 on third down ultimately, while the Broncos go 2 of 12. The Ravens end up going 3 of 3 on fourth down. They go 2 for 2 on the final drive, 16 plays, 60 yards. And like in the red zone, they were spreading things out. They were working the ball to the outside. They were doing all these things, but it's just like there's times where DeSean Jackson is streaking alone, uncovered, and Huntley is like in a clean pocket, freaking out. So it was just a weird game. I think our buddy Glenn Clark ended up tweeting out that apparently Huntley was like almost inactive for this game because he was so sick and apparently like had the flu basically. So he's saying like, this is Tyler Huntley's flu game. But for them to rally together, I mean, shit on it all you want, whatever. 8-4 feels good. There are issues. Ronnie Stanley being out continues to plague them. Josh Oliver they basically tried to take out Ricard at a receiver and put Josh Oliver on the field, and he got fucking abused. So that doesn't help. On the play where Lamar goes down, they did chip the end that ended up beating Oliver, and there's just stupid stuff that happens on that play specifically. They kept sending Devin Duvernay in motion, and Devin Duvernay goes in motion, hits a comeback, and it feels like Lamar was waiting on him to turn around for so long and just kind of stuck with it. And his internal clock was just like, I'm going to trust it. And then he goes and gets cranked. He ends up coming out. So just so much happened in this game. So little happened, but so much happened at the same time. And big plays that the Ravens are letting up. And the final drive by the Broncos getting to the point where they think Justin McManus can break Justin Tucker's in-house field goal record. It's like, what are you, that was even crazy. So crazy game, anxious weekend for the boys overall, just nuts. And somehow, some way have dragged themselves to 8-4.
Yeah, I mean, they're there. And ultimately, like, the vibes, you know, they're not great right now. I'm not going to, like, sit here and lie and say it's all sunshine and roses. It kind of does have a similar feeling to last year in 2020 to an extent where they were in this position. And obviously in 2020, they rallied and they won out, basically. And then last year, they completely lost out, I believe, 6 in a row to miss the playoffs at 8-9. They are already at 8-4. So a little bit more of a manageable schedule down the stretch this year. You got the Falcons at home, you got the Steelers at home. You also have the Steelers, Browns, and Bengals away. So it's going to be hard, but yeah, it's going to be harder considering the fact that they're going to be without Lamar Jackson for at least next week. It is officially being called a knee sprain via Ian Rappaport. I think he might have already gotten the MRI, or he might still need to get it, but sounds like we're getting close to more official word on that. The kind of the Twitter doctors who I always love are coming out and saying, like, you know, 2 to 4 weeks diagnosis. If it's within that time frame, I don't think he's going to allow them to sit him for 4 straight games in the middle of a playoff push. I think he's probably going to work his way back here sooner rather than later, but it is going to be Tyler Huntley for at least one game moving forward here. That would be at the Steelers. They signed Brett Hundley to back him up, so that basically all but confirms it, that for this week at least it's going to be him. So, yeah, I mean, I guess going back to that game itself, it really just was a confirmation, and people are getting a lot of their takes off, and of course it's turning into a Tyler Huntley versus Lamar Jackson thing, and like there's conspiracy theories and there's all this and that, and it's just like, dude, like that's every Tyler Huntley game we've ever watched. Like, maybe not as good as some of them, but like we know who the guy is at this point. He's a good athlete. He's, I think, a good backup quarterback. He is a thrower, not a pitcher. I think we saw a lot of that. We saw him make winning plays, though. Like, he's done that before. He did that against the Bears in his first ever start, where he played like kind of dog crap for most of that game, but then he goes down there on that final drive and makes the big throw to Sammy Watkins. He had a similar moment here in this game where he is flushed out to his left. He pump fakes the linebacker, and then he hits Kenyon Drake, who he was initially targeting, which was one of the more aesthetically pleasing plays I've seen all year, which was great. And then finally, the Ravens get in the end zone with about 30 seconds left to go in the game with that QB power to the right. Kevin Zeitler clearing the way. Really, really fun moment to be in that stadium for. Like I said, it was a fucking miserable game for about, you know, 59 minutes. Shout out to Kika. It's 60 minutes and 59 and change of that was terrible, but they get it done. And yeah, they were really threatening there, dude. I thought that McManus kick was good. Like, just watching it, and then I looked down to the big screen, and they were doing this thing. So he had a little bit of a Tucker moment against the Jaguars of his own. But yeah, that guy's got a leg, and maybe if it were in Denver, that would have been good, because it was definitely online.
Yeah, unfortunately, the Broncos were at sea level, not a mile high, and I think they just kind of forgot that one. But even Russell Wilson takes off there. Looks like, you know, 2014 Russell Wilson flying down the football field, runs out of bounds to give them a shot to stop the clock still. Wisely, the Ravens there played the sideline and forced the play to not be able to advance enough to get into actual field goal range. Justin Houston lined up like 17 yards downfield along, if you're the offense's perspective, the left sideline, defense, the right sideline. So glad that they have done the right thing in that sense. Defensively, Roquan Smith has a massive, massive, massive game. He ended, him and Patrick Queen, I think, combined had 11 stops, according to PFF, meaning that they forced the play to be unsuccessful and ended it. So they were on a string for a lot of the game, and we're kind of getting some work in there. Like I said, the safeties stunk. I think Geno Stone and Chuck Clark both were just biting and biting and biting. Marlon Humphrey makes a couple plays in this one. The Ravens front seven kind of brought it, and Marcus Peters, I think, had a okay day. We didn't really see a ton out of him ultimately. Would have to go back through and watch there, but I think he was able to decompress in this one a little bit after a tough game the previous week. But man, I just, Tyler Huntley, and then to have the discourse on Tyler Huntley and Lamar Jackson and everything, and I keep seeing, like, what's the difference between Tyler Huntley and Lamar Jackson? Tyler Huntley can't throw the ball downfield. Tyler Huntley is, like I said, like, I don't enjoy watching tape of Tyler Huntley because he will be in a clean pocket. I just tweeted, if you're on Twitter and looking at the live stream, like, he can't process anything. Really, like, he's a one read guy. Why does he end up booting so much? Like, I put a picture of Moses. It was 1st and 10. And then I put a picture of Tyler Huntley. The defense lined up no one between the B gaps and no one blitzed. And he's got like 20 yards of space, and he throws an incompletion where he forces it into windows for Mark Andrews. So he's a nervous flyer, just like I am, but he's someone as a backup because of his athleticism and because he is on his shit in terms of like being a participant in the level and energy of a football game as a backup quarterback, that you can win because of late is what we've seen out of Tyler Huntley. And he summates this game. I don't think it's even anecdotal. We saw it last year. He would put them in positions to win late. So you feel like you can win as a backup. You can win because of him. But he is just not in the same stratosphere as Lamar Jackson. His release is gross. It has gotten better. He is incapable of driving the ball downfield. He is just nervous, man. He's a nervous athlete in many ways that, like you said, I think saying that phrase of he is a thrower, not a pitcher necessarily. He's got enough arm to go play quarterback and do those things, but still needs a lot more development. And we've got Devon here in the comments. Thank you. No shade. We respect his competence. He's a very good backup quarterback.
That's why I hate this discussion, like on both sides of it, where it's like people are, on the one side are like doing the thing where it's like, oh, what's the difference? And then you get people on the other side that get emotional about Lamar and they have to like start tearing Huntley down too much. It's just like, guys, like, why does it everything have to turn into this like insane polarized debate? Like, why can't he just be a good young undrafted backup quarterback who you're still developing and has done a nice job? And it doesn't have to be anything more than that. The economics of it, and like, oh, you can get rid of Lamar and like you have him, like, dude, it's like, no, like he's just the backup. That's what it is. Like, I don't know. It's weird.
It is the insecurity, the state of all of the things that people hate about what the state of the Ravens fan base is ties back to an insecurity of running back commentary and saying Lamar Jackson can't throw the ball. And there's a grand insecurity about Lamar Jackson's ability as a passer, which was always skewed and viewed through dumb prisms and lenses. And anyone who ever actually fucking watched him in college or watched what he did as a passer, as a young player or in year two, know that he is a top 10 passer in the NFL. He is arguably, I would say him, Herbert, Tua in a very different sense, Brady are like the really, really, really good passers over the middle of the field. Does Lamar love to drive the ball outside? No, definitely not. Could he stand to do that more? Yes. You know, is he perfect? No, but he's a very good passer. He can move guys with his eyes. He can process. He can go from read to read, do some different things. Does he have bad games? Yes. Is he perfect? No. But Huntley is just, again, I'm just going to say, as you said, he is a pitcher. Or excuse me, he's a thrower, not a pitcher. I think that does summarize it extremely well. So you can appreciate Huntley. I think our boy Kevin said it well. You can appreciate Tyler Huntley and Lamar Jackson without having to rip one of them down. So just take it easy. Just take it easy. That's what the Ravens fan base needs. The Ravens aren't going to win the Super Bowl this year. So if you just take that and try and enjoy it through that prism, that lens, then maybe you'll have a little bit more fun. What does Roman bring to the – everyone's going to hate me, but guys are open. He spread things out. He listened. He did everything you wanted. He did it early for Lamar in the red zone. You know, they do the stupid fucking trick play. Harbaugh gets asked about it. And he's like, yeah, well, we would have liked James Prochet to not throw that, obviously, but I'm not going to fixate on it because guess what? James Prochet is probably never going to throw a pass again. So it's like, all right, whatever. We trusted him to, you know, either like when you're if you've ever played football at any level, whenever someone who's not the quarterback or a quarterback is throwing the ball, coaches get in your face and say this: if you aren't sure, if the play didn't work and there's not someone wide open, run. Every single coach in the history of football, when they try and do these little non-quarterback throwing plays, if there's no one open or if you don't think it worked, if it didn't work, if there's not anyone streaking downfield by themselves, run. And the irony of that is that he threw it into quadruple coverage and there was a three-man rush. Like the Broncos, they start running Kenyon Drake around and it's like, why is Kenyon Drake going in motion a fourth time? Something's up. So they went a little overboard on that aspect of it. And
hitting bombs.
Exactly. So, you know, whatever. Trick plays. They had Tom Brady. The Bucs had Tom Brady running. Byron Leftwich, former future Ravens head coach, Byron Leftwich, has right. Tom Brady running a route, and someone throws it to Tariq Woolen, 6'4", running 4'3", covering Tom Brady, and picks it off. So, you know, you want the creativity. You want them to run a trick play. You complain that they don't run spread. They do all of those things. So it's like the results you're pissed off about when you wanted a different process. So here we are again. Dude, it's just a fucking never ending cycle.
This season for my guy, the pro, it's like a fucking slapstick comedy routine. Like, he's got more penalties than he does yards. He's thrown an interception at this point. Like, what are we doing here, pro? Like, come on. And like, it's not even totally all his fault. Like, I don't want to get on him too hard, but it's just like, it's like Kramer walking to the apartment and just like slipping on a golf ball and just like breaking his back. It's just like a comedy of errors from the guy. And you know, I hate it for him. Seems like a very nice, hardworking young lad, and I hope he figures it out to some extent. But it's been a rough go of it, and now throwing an interception on that play, which I had the aerial view of that, like way up in that section. And brother, let me tell you, I saw the train wreck coming from a mile away, and it still came, and it was brutal.
Most certainly wrong.
You're getting some massive evil robot voice right now, or at least you were there. But yeah, not, just really not a whole lot to say on this game. I mean, like you mentioned, it did look like they tried to mix it up on offense a little bit more, and I thought that was nice to see. But they're just not at full strength, man. You don't have your left tackle. You don't have your quarterback for most of that game. And you're just completely, like, woefully inadequate at the wide receiver position talent-wise. So it's just going to be tough, man. It's going to be tough to put it all together in that respect. As he pops out, and we'll see if he pops back in. But I guess in the meantime, I guess what I'll do here is check some of the questions, if we got any. Nothing really rolling in as you come back in. And yeah, like I was saying, just kind of tough to put it all together when you're just kind of, you got one hand tied behind your back a lot of the team time, it feels
like. And I don't know what people want, man. You want Devin Duvernay more involved, then we have a comment in here. Honestly, the Duve sweeps on third and four pissed me off more.
That's my favorite play in the playbook.
Why? Isn't that what you've been begging for all this time? Isn't that what everyone's been begging for 2 years? Get Devin Duvernay involved. They do. One of them doesn't work. Hey, every time Deebo Samuel runs the ball, it doesn't work. Devin Duvernay is not Deebo Samuel, but you've been asking for it. You get it, and you're still mad.
Believe in him in what sense?
There's nothing to believe about. It's just like at the end of the day, and there's these videos circulating of people cussing Greg Roman out.
That is so fucking sorry. The guy who did that and like everyone else who was in that video, like you guys got to like get your fucking head checked.
I just don't understand. Why is none of it ever directed to Harbaugh? Whose team is it?
And I love
who
John.
Greg Roman? Who stays with Greg Roman? It's like the getting mad at your toddler for like stepping on your foot. And it's like, they're your child.
Yeah. It's like, this is what they want to, it's Bisciotti, man. This is what they want to do. This is who they want to be. If you don't like it, like, I'm sorry. That sucks. And like, it definitely could be better than it is right now. And it should have been a lot better than it's been this year in a lot of spots. But like, we gotta stop with this weirdo shit of like yelling at people walking out of their job. Like, that's so beyond the line. Like,
I just don't understand why no one ever has that energy for John Harbaugh. Why is no one talking like that at John Harbaugh? I don't get it.
Yeah. I mean, and John's my guy, but it's his operation. Like, this is what he wants to do. So
it most certainly is. So at the end of the day, you're pissed off about the results of what happened when your backup quarterback comes in while simultaneously having discourse on why like the backup is good. I don't know what to say really.
Yeah,
I don't know what to say.
It's strange. I really don't want to dwell on it too much because it's just like weird behavior to me. They're 8-4. It's not great. They're not going to win the Super Bowl. To your point, I don't know. Like that doesn't, for some reason, that just doesn't piss me off in the same level that it does to some people. Maybe my expectations just aren't as high. But
it's expectations and people. They are at a certain point in time. They're looking pretty sharp. They beat a couple teams. They're on a win streak. Lamar looks like he's in a rhythm after the Bucs game and then the Saints game. And honestly, we've set expectations. I've been expecting them to break out as well. And then lo and behold, McCary comes out. Filele comes in. Filele has a rough freaking day. Looks like crap in his pass sets, just not moving his feet and letting guys run around him. Not mentally in the game. Wasn't prepared for that at all, it felt like. Stanley's out again. Gus Edwards, I'm thankful that they integrated Kenyon Drake more, even though they were unproductive in the ground game. But I don't know. They're a hodgepodge group of guys that keep going out and coming back in. Isaiah Likely makes a play, and then he goes out, and then he comes back in. So they go face a Pittsburgh Steelers team that is not in a different boat. They're screaming at each other on the sideline. They're not able to drum up a ton of production offensively.
Mike Tomlin's fucking working here, man.
Huh?
You see that clip of Tomlin? That got a laugh.
Oh, yeah.
Fucking working here, man.
ridiculous. So I saw that the last four wins that the Steelers have been by a combined 13 points. So it's been close. It's been the cardiac kids. This is the ultimate heart attack team. I think that's why people are growing frustrated, because you're getting this anxiety that's coming out in the fourth quarter, and it's like releasing toxic sludge in your brain. I experienced the same thing. Like I said, I was shaking at one point in the fourth quarter. I was like, I can't take this anymore. People are sick of that feeling. And then the grand irony is the duality of man, of you tweeting that's the worst win I've ever seen. And it was one tweet over John Harbaugh. That was a great December win.
Yeah.
In a game that they probably should have lost.
And I think both reactions are 100% valid. Like the people that are saying, like I saw some tweets about like, oh my God, like this would have never happened. Like when I was in high school, like with my coach, I'm like, bro, this is literally their fucking livelihood. Like they take these wins where they can get them. It's not easy to win in the NFL, but you're allowed to say it looked terrible. Just do it within reason. Do it within reason and remember the fact that they're 8-4. Like we're just still on this ride here, and it's not ending anytime soon. Let me tell you that much.
They spread things out on offense. They work laterally and get the ball to Devin Duvernay and do all the things that people want them to do, and the results weren't there despite doing that process differently. So it's like fire Harbaugh off of a win. Fire Greg Roman off of a win, all of these things. So what's 8-4 worth when you can't score the majority of the game? Has there ever been a team that's defensively done well and succeeded and made a run? Is that not allowed anymore in the year of football where yards per reception are the lowest they've been and yards per carry are the highest, and we're seeing the cyclical football flip on its head, and the Ravens trade for a linebacker and Roquan Smith and makes a couple big plays, kind of saves their ass a couple times. So they need to buckle down defensively. Adafe Owe after the game was saying that we were starting to say, hey, we're going to have to score a touchdown. And you see guys start trying to rip the ball out and make some plays and things like that, which, hey, could bite them in the ass. But if you're having a tough stretch, they're trying to integrate Edwards back in. They're trying to integrate Dobbins back in again now. Stanley's been out. Lamar's out. It is what it is. This team is boring. We have a comment as well. This team is boring. It's not what I want to watch. It's not the football that I like to watch. I like to watch the Chiefs, and I like to watch the high-flying passing offenses. Boring entertainment value doesn't help you in the win and loss column.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it is boring, like straight up. Like I agree with that, but it's not. I don't know if that makes it one way or the other better. I mean, if they win games, I'm fine with that.
They're 8-4, and guess what? You know, probably a 10, 11, hopefully 12-win team for them, but they're probably going to be fighting into a wild card spot, something of that sort. It does feel like a similar situation to last year, except you're not missing 10 defensive starters and bleeding left and right, hemorrhaging. So they're probably going to have to play a couple sloppy, drag-out, knockdown football games against divisional opponents. And those games go that way anyway. A lot of the time, if you're not playing the 2019 Cincinnati Bengals that go get the first overall pick and can't do a damn thing against anybody, then those games are usually sloppy anyway. So they're going to have to rely on their defense. They're going to have to not turn the football over. And watching Tyler Huntley is going to make my blood pressure rise as, you know, he rolls out on a boot there and just throws an interception to Justin Simmons, like to Justin Simmons, no one in the area, right on the sideline as if he was a receiver. So backup quarterback's going to have to come in for a couple games, and defense is going to have to try and weather the storm, win a game or two, and it's going to come down to week 18 as it continues to. It continues to come down to the end. So, whew.
Yeah, it's not going to be pretty. It's not going to be fun, I don't think. It's probably going to be boring, but I think they're in a better spot in an overall state than they were at this time last year with the comparisons being made. I do think that they're going to make their way into the playoffs. But at a certain point, you know, if people want to have the discussions about fire this guy and fire that guy, like, okay, fine. Just be normal about it. Be a normal person about it. It's okay. I understand you're emotional. I'm emotional too, but we got to settle in. Cause we got, like I said, we got a long ride to go here yet, and it's not going to get any better. I don't think for at least a couple weeks.
Like the more you scream and cry about it, the more they're going to listen to you.
It's like a Chinese finger trap.
It's like, if I work myself into a real frenzy, then they'll listen to me and fire him. It's like, you've been saying fire him for 3 years. It's almost like a bit. Like, the more you say it, the less likely it is to happen.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Anything else from this amazing, aesthetically pleasing win?
It was nauseating. It was anxiety inducing. You know, it was an absolute mess, but 8-4, man. They still got a shot. And I think my audio is fucking shot again. So
that was perfect timing, all that, but that's okay. It's all right. We'll just calm down. I see you getting, Oh God, because they can make the playoffs, dude. Like, what are you talking about? Like, calm down. But yeah, ultimately, I guess that's all we got. Frustrating game. Fun weekend, though. Fun overall weekend. Teams 8-4. We're going to move on. Follow us on social media if you're not already. You can find the show on Twitter at Podcast Beatdown. I am at Jake Luke. That's LOUQUE. Spencer is at Ravens for Dummies. That's the number 4 in the middle there. Thanks to everyone who came out to the tailgate. Hopefully we'll do one again very soon. We can meet more yet lovely people then and there. And yeah, I guess in the meantime, Ravens are right in the thick of this thing. And like I said, it's not going to get any less stressful down the stretch here. So let's strap on our big boy pants and let's all just kind of be, let's try to be a little more sane about this than we've been. And you know, there'll be a time to go crazy, but let's just save it for then. Thanks again for listening, guys. We will talk to you again very soon, and we shall see you.
Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Get that! Baltimore!
What are they giving?
Everything out of me. They gonna get a Super Bowl out of me. Believe that. Believe that.